In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today is the 50th day after Easter, and that's literally what Pentecost means. It's the Greek word for 50th. And I was just thinking earlier before Mass this morning about the significance of that number 50. It seems to be one of those numbers that God favors. We know, of course, he favors the number 3. He's 3 in 1. He favors the number 7 quite a bit. 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost, 7 days of the week, 7 sacraments. He favors 10. Or 12, I should say, the 12 apostles. He favors 40 days of Lent, 40 days for Nineveh to repent, and they repented. 40 days and 40 nights, it rained in the time of Noah. And also 50 seems to be important to God. And what's interesting is what happened every 50th year in the Old Testament among the Jewish people. It was called the Jubilee Year. And there were some special prescriptions for this 50th year. Every 50 years, it was a special observance. And 3 of the most important things that would happen during that Jubilee Year is that there was to be no planting. The ground was to be fallow. So they had to save up enough grain in order to have enough to carry them through the Jubilee year. But this idea was giving the land a rest. And we know that even farmers do this to this day. They will, not every 50 years, but they will occasionally let a field be fallow, because it needs a rest, a chance to recuperate. But even more interesting, every 50th year, all property that had been sold out of necessity returned to its owner. So if people were forced to sell their land because they were, otherwise they would starve, every 50th year, it went back to them. It was the idea of not allowing, well, one problem that was avoided is somebody buying up immense amounts of land and continuing to hold it for many, many years. This helped distribute the wealth more equitably, to help distribute ownership more equitably among the chosen people. And then also, anybody that had been sold into slavery among the Jewish people, especially for the paying of debts, their slavery was over. Everybody was freed. So it was a way to help combat that problem of slavery that existed in their society. Now, that was Old Testament. Obviously, that doesn't hold in the New Testament. That was the Mosaic Law. But it's interesting, again, to see what the, you might say, God's thinking was behind this, Moses' thinking. And the Catholic Church has as a sort of representation of this Jubilee year, something that Pope Urban VIII, I believe, instituted in 1300, every 50 years would be the Holy Year. And special indulgences and blessings would be given to those who traveled to places of pilgrimage, especially Rome. And it was the idea of forgiveness, of justice being restored, of being reconciled, first of all, with God, but also being more reconciled to one's fellow man. And then the church began to do it every 25 years. So actually 2025 is a holy year according to the according to the schedule of every 25 years. But again, it started off as the idea of the 50th year. So I mention all of this just for your Catholic information. It's a good thing to know. And it does underscore that 50 is important to God. So what happened on the 50th day after the resurrection? The Holy Ghost came down in a most visible manner. And this is why, by analogy, Pentecost is called the birthday of the church, because just as a child is carried within the mother, the child becomes visible after the birth. So it's just an analogy. And the apostles went forth from the upper room on that special 50th day and began to preach the gospel. The Holy Ghost came upon them with an increase in his seven gifts, so that there was even a tongue of fire above each one of their heads. Miraculous, of course. But it was above the head of Our Lady, too. She, too, received an increase in the gifts and grace, and of course, she far above anyone else. And remember, they had spent 9 days in prayer. They were preparing for the Holy Ghost. And it seemed that they weren't quite ready to go and preach the gospel. There still seemed to be some fearfulness. And it seems to me that the apostles especially needed that gift of fortitude to help them go fearlessly preach. They needed all of the gifts, and we all need the gifts of the Holy Ghost. These are supernatural helps over and beyond the normal moral virtues that we have to practice every day of our lives. So we reflected upon the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost in the novena prayers. I hope that you were able to pray all 9 days of the novena. And we had wonderful explanations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, how much we need them, and we prayed for them. Always pray for an increase in the gifts of the Holy Ghost to you. And as I said, the apostles especially, to me it seems anyway, they needed that gift of fortitude. And that fortitude made them fearlessly go forth, spread the faith, and all the apostles ended their lives as martyrs. That's how much they needed the gift of fortitude. Well, St. John the Apostle didn't actually die in his martyrdom. He was thrown into the boiling oil and miraculously was preserved, but he was willing to shed his blood for Christ. But the gift that I wanted to reflect upon today is the gift of piety. And I'm sure that one or more of these gifts stood out to you on a personal basis. And for me, the gift of piety is certainly one of those that stood out more to me. And I'll just read briefly. It's a filial affection for God as our most loving Father. It inspires us to love and respect for his sake persons and things consecrated to him, as well as those who are vested with his authority. He who is filled with the gift of piety finds the practice of his religion not a burdensome duty, but a delightful service. Where there is love, there is no labor. You know, it can happen for some Catholics that they see the duties of a Catholic as a burden. They need more that gift of piety. Oh, I have to go to Mass on Sunday. I have to abstain from meat on Friday. I have to follow this teaching of the church, or that teaching of the church. That's viewing religion as a burden. But when you love something, you don't see those things as a burden. If I can give a down-to-earth analogy, let's talk about baseball. People who love baseball, either playing it or watching it, you hear them complaining about the burden of all the rules and the work that has to be put into it and the preparation. No, they don't complain. They accept it. They're even glad about it because they know that there's a purpose to all of that. And so if you find yourself seeing anything in your Catholic faith as a burden, as something that's, you know, I have to do this, pray for the gift of piety to make you love it and to do it not just out of that sheer sense of obligation, but out of love. So again, he who is filled with the gift of piety finds the practice of his religion not a burdensome duty, but a delightful service. Where there is love, there is no labor. May the Holy Ghost grant you an abundance of increase in his gifts and his grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.